All right, everybody. This is Smiles Lewis and Mac White, and you're listening to PsyOp Radio. This is a Tuesday live show here on Anomaly Radio Network. PsyOp Radio explores the convergence of the paranormal and the parapolitical, and how each can be used as psychological operations against the other. The other meaning paranormal against parapolitical, and parapolitical against paranormal. Or against your other, you know, your alien other, your psychic other. Well, maybe that's stretching it, but... So, Mac, are you with us?
I am right here.
Mac, it's great to hear from you.
Yes, and I didn't get to do the last week's show. I was sick. Hey, I'm here today, and I'm loaded for bear.
Well, it's great to hear your voice. You know, Mac, I really miss you being all the way up there in South Dallas. You used to live in the neighborhood, and we could visit more easily.
Yeah.
Even then, it was still a little too few and far between.
That's true. Well, yes, I'm here up at the Radio Ranch somewhere north of Austin, Texas.
At an undisclosed location deep in the belly of the beast.
Yes. The cult compound that I've put together has 3 years. I'm ready for anything. I'm ready to, you know, shoot down UFOs, black helicopters. You know, nobody better mess with this radio ranch.
Well, yeah, unlike the Pentagon, we'll use our rockets.
Yeah, gosh.
You know, and did you get to catch last week's Out the Rabbit Hole radio show?
No, I didn't get to hear that.
Oh, man. That was so good. That was Corey Rowe, producer of Loose Change, and on Robert Larson's Out the Rabbit Hole radio show.
Yeah, I saw the announcement about it, but I didn't catch it.
Man, it was really good. I mean, Robert did an excellent job of interviewing Corey and setting the stage. I mean, the first half hour, they really delved into who Corey was, how he came to be the dreaded 9/11 truther monogram. He explained about his military service and how he enlisted like weeks before his September 11th and ended up spending time in Afghanistan and Iraq and the Middle East in general, and he talked about some interesting experiences he had while in the military, including one that I think we should probably discuss at some point on today's show about about PSYOPs and how easily it can be affected without, you know, a lot of coordination.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the interesting things after they got through the, you know, explanatory introductions, Robert got right down to business and said, give me your best evidence for inside job, for, you know, government complicity, or some other kind of conspiracy shenanigans. And Corey did great. He really cited chapter and verse, and though I can't recall all of his points, I found it, what made me start on this little tear here was the thing about the Pentagon. You know, he brings up the Pentagon, of course, you know, like so many have criticized them and others for going after the what hit the Pentagon. He said, no, our point is the Pentagon was hit. Hello? The most defended airspace, which we know has, you know, self-defense rockets on its roofs and in nearby, you know.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's only been how many years of a Cold War before the war on terrorism began? The national security state. I mean, what was all this taxpayer money being thrown at for
right.
defense if the Pentagon itself couldn't be defended?
You know,
that was the other dog that didn't bark that day.
Well, you know, and as I was listening to this, you know, I'm really excited. I mean, I as much as I can be, you know, despondent about the 9/11 truth movement or critical of it, it does fill me with, you know, a lot of pride and the best thing I can approximate happiness as these days is feeling like, okay, the, you know, maybe change is upon us and maybe we can have some positive influence on the powers that be. And with this this third installment, the upcoming final cut, basically part three or the third version of Loose Change, they've been refining their data, and, mm-hmm. And one of the things Corey said was they weren't trying necessarily to convince you of 9/11 conspiracy per se, but just to basically show that there's enough evidence to question the official conspiracy theory. Now that they're possibly going to be getting an actual, you know, mainstream theatrical release, potentially. I mean, there's no given at this point. But if they did, can you imagine?
A
film narrated by Charlie Sheen and with all the hype. I mean, for goodness sake, if the Bill O'Reillys continue shrilling and shilling the way they have been, then undoubtedly they're going to give it a lot of publicity. And
which is the other thing. I mean, they go on the air and attack Rosie O'Donnell and give her airtime, basically, showing her on her program, presenting, you know, what she was talking about the, you know, the comparison between the, kidnapping of these sailors. And,
right,
you know,
comparing
and
so it to forth, the Gulf of Tonkin.
Gulf of Tonkin and so forth, which, you know, that was a silly business. But and then don't argue any of the points, but just say, you know, she needs to be hung for treason. And it's hate speech. You know, it's just the same thing over and over again. And I guess that works with just enough of the dumbed down American public, but it doesn't work with everybody. It can't possibly. But they're giving publicity to these alternate versions of events. And so what's going on with that? PSYOPs, some kind of controlled opposition, maybe? I don't know. You got to keep your mind open to any possibility. That's interesting. So now a possible theatrical release, even if it isn't a theatrical release, it's still got Charlie Sheen narrating. It's being produced by the this Mark Cuban fellow,
right?
And it's going to get even more attention than the previous versions of the film. So the 9/11 truth issue would seem to have, if the battle hasn't been won, then it's, you know, almost won. And the question is, what comes next? Or what are we going to do with this knowledge that elements of the U.S. government, really, what we know we really mean by that is the New World Order, but that's one thing that's not being discussed out there in the mainstream at all. It's all, you know, Bush administration did this, and, you know, so they're not really getting into, you know, much of the, but it's a good start in that direction. The Project for the New American Century and so forth, globalism. But what next? What do you do? And there was a poll that came out several months ago that showed that, I forget what it was, one-third or was it two-third? I can't remember now, of the American public doubts the official version of 9/11. And that's a tremendous number of people. The question is, what do you do with that knowledge that people in charge of your government, your life, who are taking away all your freedoms, murdered 3,000 people on September 11, 2001? What are you going to do about that? What do you do next?
Torches and pitchforks.
Well, I would say that's a good start. You know, storm the castle.
Right.
But by the time this gets, really to that level where people are ready to do that, well, then the Bush administration is over. They're out of there, gone to Paraguay or wherever, and another administration comes in, probably a different party.
Left foot, right foot.
Yeah, and so once again, you have that left-right paradigm, Democratic versus Republican and so forth. And so many people who are crying for the blood of the Bush administration, Cheney, all these guys, and the Republican Party and so forth, they're going to be satisfied. They're going to be, lulled into some kind of complacency, perhaps, that, well, now we've got someone else in there, a Democrat, let's say it's Hillary Clinton, forgetting the role of the Clintons in Waco and Oklahoma City and so forth, forgetting all that because they never learned it to begin with.
Right. Well, yeah, every day in traffic I see, you know, I'm behind liberals with, you know, Obama and Hillary and, you know, anybody but Bush stickers on the way home or to work. And, just the other day, actually, I had this this lady speed behind me and yell at me through our open windows, "Bush sucks!" And speed away, and I know she's reacting to my bumper stickers, and I'm like watching her in traffic, and I'm trying to see if I can get up next to her and say, "Hey, yeah, no, you're right, I agree." And sure enough, I can see her looking in her side mirror at me, and I'm looking directly at her, and I'm gesturing, I'm like with thumbs up, going and nodding my head, going, "Yeah, you're right," and knowing that she's misunderstood my bumper stickers. So I eventually get up next to her. And she's like, "Bush sucks," again. And I'm like, "Yeah, I agree. Did you read my bumper sticker?" She's like, "Oh, I just saw Bush." I'm like, "Look again." And so I pull in front of her, you know, carefully.
Yeah.
And then I go back to the side, and she pulls up, and she's like, "Yeah, I guess they all suck, don't they?" Exactly.
Yeah.
And now we do have, you know, the wolf in sheep's clothing, perhaps, Ron Paul, who's infiltrated the Republican Party and seems to more or less be a more traditional conservative libertarian, and he's running for president, and so...
Yeah, but that's a good thing.
Yeah, they're not even going to let him in the debates, you know, probably, and...
He probably really is a good guy.
Oh, which reminds me also, I just want to give a plug for the website that I interviewed some folks from on Thursday on Angela Keaton's show. Angela couldn't do her normal Thursday Liberated Space show, so I was lucky enough to host Liberated Space, which airs every Thursday from generally 6:30 p.m. to 7 p.m., but sometimes she does an hour show, and she's getting ready to add... Well, she's actually doing two shows a week, but we're only carrying one live, but... anyway, you can hear all the shows on Anomaly Radio. But, I was hosting Liberated Space for her and had on some folks from rockthedebates.org. Now, these are pretty much mainstream libertarians and other alternative political party folks who created a nonprofit whose sole aim is to get you and I and anybody else out there to be activists and confront politicians on the campaign trail and get them on video and on the record as to how they can justify or how they stand about other candidates besides the left foot, right foot fascists, Republicrats, and Demopublicans, you know, doing debates. And then, of course, posting that video to YouTube. So they're very much one of these, you know, new activist, technologically empowered type of organizations that's, you know, really like... It's just another example of how things like Loose Change and other 9/11 truth videos end up being this amazing leverage for political activism, where somebody on the street corner can have an iPod with a video screen on it and be showing people, you know, mini documentaries, or in the case of 9/11, you know, footage of WTC-7, and making them go, "Whoa, that's weird. Maybe I'll look into this," you know. So that was a really cool show we got to do, but. You know, we were talking earlier about the idea that O'Reillys, the shills and shrills, and of the lapdog media are just basically fueling the 9/11 truth movement. And while I've been reading a lot of new and alternative blogs that are not conspiracy sites that are now finally starting to acknowledge 9/11 truth, which is interesting in and of itself, Most of them, of course, are still thinking, oh, these guys are just whack jobs. And yet, as we said, Bill O'Reilly and these others, really, they're driving the mainstream audience to them. And as we've said before on other shows, and I think this bears repeating over and over again, everything can be PSYOP. Everything, you know, as I think it was Ollie North said, you know, you mix the lie with some truth and convince your audience that that's the truth, and then they've got this lie that they're going to be repeating. And
for it to be a really effective lie, that is, to be really good disinformation, it's got to have some good information in it, some truth in there, just enough to pull you in. But it's the way they spin it,
right,
and the way it's played, that is what makes it disinformation or psyops.
Well, some of the main critics out there of the 9/11 Truth Movement who are actually part of it, who also maintain that most of the 9/11 voices are in fact controlled by the likes of the CIA or the Illuminati or the G8, they maintain that, you know, the majority of the outlets that we're listening to are basically, they're being allowed to go on because they're peddling that version of alternative conspiracy, parapolitical theory. And I think there's a lot to that, and I think we always have to really be vigilant about that and worry about that. And one of the things I kept thinking about during that Corey Rowe interview was, wow, okay, this breaks the mainstream, and we've talked about, I think on this show and other shows, the idea that it's almost like 9/11 has been engineered to eventually implode on itself, the cover-up, the official conspiracy theory, and perhaps actually get some of the partial perps, you know, that the middle management folks that pulled it off, or that were privy to it, or at the very least capitalized upon it, are going to be sacrificed, perhaps, and that will just be brought in as just the change of the guard, like we were saying earlier, with the liberals and the Democrats, or the liberals and the conservatives, the Republicans and the Democrats.
Oh, that's a game that they're very skilled at playing, the Republican versus Democrat paradigm, and also they've had a lot of practice now, a few decades worth of practice of committing these terrible conspiracies and then watching the effect that they have, and then infiltrating the research community that springs up in the wake of these conspiracies, starting with JFK. And just, I'm sure that in the case of the JFK assassination aftermath and all of the now, you know, decades worth of research, ongoing debate back and forth, that there have been researchers who have been planted in order to cause confusion, and then others who were originally perhaps sincere researchers who were compromised in some way, influenced in some way. But they don't even have to do that. All they have to do is just take advantage of human nature and the disagreements that spring up among people when they begin to discuss a very complex and vast plot. Especially if you have, help it along by encouraging or perhaps even planting tangents for people to get off on. But as I said, you don't even have to do that. It's going to happen on its own. And so then whenever it pops up in the mainstream arena, and it's discussed in, say, a newspaper article, the latest on Kennedy assassination research. Well, they will pick and choose the various different arguments and evidences for or against a conspiracy, and will often choose the weakest points, or they'll focus on the infighting and so forth. So these things naturally occur. So they've had a lot of experience in seeing how these things can be spun to their advantage. And there's the other thing. It's been said by many persons, again, using the JFK assassination as a template for understanding all the others that have come since, right up to the present day, that the original cover story was never really meant to hold. That there may have been the intent all along, and certainly early on, the awareness that it could be used for this purpose, that, well, this lone nut story isn't going to hold up, but we've got a backup here. We can say, well, the mafia did it, you know. Or we can say it was all just an LBJ plot. And, you know, that's been given some fuel recently added to the fire by the supposed last words of E. Howard Hunt. It was all an LBJ plot with a few disenchanted CIA guys involved.
Well, and what, didn't Bob Barr have a I forget, was it his book?
Barr McClellan.
Barr McClellan,
yeah,
excuse me.
Yeah, the father of the former press secretary for Bush, Scott McClellan. And really, there's no question that on some, you know, level, and a deep level, Lyndon Johnson, at the very least, had foreknowledge and a very real motive to be involved. But, you know, to say that it was just a Lyndon Johnson plot is ridiculous. But the other thing is that it's been suggested that the JFK assassination was what you would call an open conspiracy. It was, you know, something that was concocted in such a way that there would be this rather transparent cover story put out there that people, at least on a subconscious level, would see isn't right. And they keep telling us, and this is the mainstream media, their own polls, which are put out there, you know, to influence on us on one level or another. But at any rate, that's in excess of 90% of the people in this country and really worldwide, you know, believe that something
there was a conspiracy. There was a conspiracy beyond the loan.
Yeah, notes. And this is meant, I believe, to induce a it's psyops. It creates a psychological discomfort on a mass level, an awareness that things aren't right, that the system can't be trusted, and there's no question that this nation changed dramatically after Kennedy was killed. There was disenchantment. There was fast disillusionment. There was a fracturing.
It was the psychic death of a nation.
Yes. And so the question has to be asked, was that not part of the globalist agenda? Was that not part of the motive for killing Kennedy? And so then if you ask that about JFK's killing, then you have to look at all the other things that have happened and the psychological effect, and by that I mean the mass psychological effect of the other assassinations of the 60s, King, Bobby Kennedy, the Vietnam War, Watergate, the killing of John Lennon, and on up to the present with 9/11.
Yeah, I agree completely. I don't know if you got the chance to look at that link I sent you earlier today.
Yes, I did.
I was surfing the Rigorous Intuition forums. Rigorous Intuition is a blog I really like by blogger Jeff Wells, who does a really great job of weaving together the interrelatedness of the paranormal and parapolitical. And on his forums, which you can find via rigorousintuition.ca or rigint.blogspot.com. I found that in the last couple of days, a new poster to the forum named, going by the screen name Optimistic Algorithm, linked to a really interesting ZNet.com article, or excuse me, ZMag.org article called Diversion and Good Faith Distraction on the Use Value of Conspiracy Data for the Power Elite by Paul Street. And this article, while it misrepresents a lot of different parapolitical information, is about something very, very interesting, and that is a document from 1998 that you can find archived at the FAS.org, that's the Federation of American Scientists.org site. It's called Operation Security Impact on Declassification Management within the Department of Defense. And this is produced by Booz Allen and Hamilton Incorporated. And basically, this report, this proposal or study was looking at the effects of Executive Order 12958, which has facilitated the mass declassification of a large portion of classified government documents over the last several decades that are up for review because they're over 25 years in age. And basically, this Booz Allen and Hamilton organization looked into the effect of this in relationship to the Internet. And, of course, this is very early on in the rise of the Internet. This is 1998, beginning of 1998, February. And basically what it's suggesting is that the release of this information should be dealt with in a way that basically equates to psychological warfare. Psychological operations that, in an effort to not incense Americans with their ability and right to freedom of information on the part of the government that they fund, that they should basically put out the sensational and shocking documents that might pertain to things like the Kennedy assassination. Specifically, the document mentions the Kennedy assassination, basically saying that, oh, we can use these things that are scheduled for release anyway, play them up, and give the conspiracy theorists on the Internet, they don't actually use that term, but I mean, that's who they're talking about mostly, or the researchers who, you know, can then start endlessly debating the stuff that was scheduled to be released, and basically miss, most likely, the things that are being released that are a little more interesting and that might lead to further revelations that the government might not like. Now, so consider that for a while. The article, again, is Diversion and Good Faith Distraction on the Use Value of Conspiracy Data for the Power Elite at ZMag.org, which is also called ZNet, and the FAS.org archived the document, Operations Security Impact on Declassification Management within the Department of Defense. You're listening to PsyOp Radio on the Anomaly Radio Network, and thanks for listening. We'll be right back. All right, everybody. This is Miles Lewis and Mac White, and we're back. And you're listening to PsyOp Radio on AnomalyRadio.com. So, Mac, yeah, you got the chance to look at that article I mentioned.
Yes.
Over at ZMAC.
And it discussed the Internet in particular. This was in 1998, as you mentioned, when this report was first put together, which was fairly early on in the Internet's development. But it had been around just long enough to for it to be noticed that it could become a very effective alternative news source. And the report noted that if documents were released on the Internet and in regard to the JFK assassination or whatever, that it might satisfy the public interest. But it also noted that there could be an opposite effect, which might not be to their advantage by their the elite's the advantage.
Right. The quote is, weaknesses. The use of the internet could have rebound effect and fuel a more voracious public demand for ever may facilitate more FOIA requests by providing a shopping list of available materials.
Yeah. Now, this is a perfect lead-in here to something else that we briefly had discussed might be something to mention on this show.
Yes, yes.
Which is this report by the British Ministry of Defense, which just there's so much here that you know, each paragraph of this thing is a mind bomb. But just to dive right into the most relevant paragraph, you know, again, it has not gone unnoticed by the elites, the New World Order, that the internet is a it's either a problem for them, or it's something that could maybe be used to advantage. And quoting from this one paragraph from this story in The Guardian, the 90-page report comments on widely discussed issues such as the growing economic importance of India and China, the militarization of space, and even what it calls declining news quality, that's a quote, with the rise of, quote, internet-enabled citizen journalists and pressure to release stories, quote, at the expense of facts. This report, wow, there are so many different ways to take this. Appears to be a declaration of war on one level. Just to kind of back up here, though, this report was put together by the Ministry of Defense of Britain. It is described as being something that is probability-based rather than predictive, but it's a guess as to what might happen within the next 30 years, as envisaged by the Ministry of Defense, a think tank group that was put together in order to paint a picture of the future strategic context likely to face Britain's armed forces. Now, it says Britain's armed forces, but of course, what you read here is something that could just as easily apply to what's going on here in the U.S. and elsewhere. It includes an analysis of the key risks and shocks. And there's an awful lot in here. In that first, second paragraph, actually, I just quoted from about declining news quality and the rise of internet-enabled citizen journalists. Well, they address the InfoWars, basically. And then it gets into, you know, so much else here. Weapons, an electromagnetic pulse will probably become operational by 2035, able to destroy all communication systems in a selected area or be used against a world city such as an international business service hub. And the development of neutron weapons, which destroy living organs but not buildings, might make a weapon of choice for extreme ethnic cleansing in an increasingly populated world.
Right.
Boy, is that a loaded phrase right there.
And like you say, where do you start? I mean, this document, which is, as you say, from the MODs, and it's called the DC and DC, Development Concepts and Doctrine Center, which drew up the report, and you can download the PDF of it. And again, this is a case of manufacturing consent. They're basically telling us what they're going to do to us. It's the revelation of the method. It's what may have been previously what they would have kept secret, but now it's all out in the open. It's not that we didn't even have to ask for this to be declassified. They're just like, oh, yeah, here you go. And in the Prison Planet article, which is a government report, bioweapons could be used to combat overpopulation. That, of course, they're focusing on one of the things that they've pioneered, which is the focusing on the elite's interest in getting rid of 90 plus percent of the world's population in order to reach this supposed critical balancing point that they foresee for the future of the planet. And in, like you say, in this document, there's so many things to focus on, whether it's they're talking about the rise of the middle class and even a revolt on the part of the middle class, and which for as far as I'm concerned, are really the way it should be.
Well, of course, the problem is that it hasn't happened yet like it needs to. It should have happened before now, and it's not going to happen until it's really too late, because right now people are not uncomfortable enough. They're maybe a little bit psychologically uncomfortable, but still, you know, you have to really begin to. And actually, the thing is, we already are feeling the squeeze, but it's the old comparison of the frogs, you know, boiling slowly
right
in the pot. People are being, you know, gradually accustomed to, you know, more and more and more financial difficulties and taxation, and we see it all around us, you know, and the foreclosures that are happening, you know, loans and what have you. But well, people adjust and they think, well, maybe I'll be able to fight my way out of this financial mire that I'm in and somehow get ahead, you know. But what the hell, you know, it's 7 o'clock, it's time for my favorite TV show to come on, and so I'm going to have a drink and forget about it for a while, you know.
Right.
When what people need to be doing is starting this, what they call a Marxist
right
revolution.
That's what I wanted to get to. They say in this, and this is the Guardian, London Guardian article at guardian.co.uk, and their title is "Revolution, Flash Mobs, and Brain Chips: A Grim Vision of the Future." And this is in their science section. So basically, this military report is basically future, dark futurism for them, and not science fiction so much as possible science. Fact coming soon. And one of the quotes that the article quotes from the report: the world's middle classes might unite using access to knowledge, resources, and skills to shape transnational processes in their own class interest. Oh my God! You mean the people might actually do something like think and use the information revolution to their advantage so that we could actually change things on a transnational level? That sounds like terrorism. Oh, wait, but that's what the transnational corporations are doing and the governments and the globalists. Okay.
This also sounds a little bit like what they did here in 1776, you know?
Well, that was terrorism, as we know, according to those FBI training manuals. But this report is just huge. It's voluminous. I mean, it's only 90 pages, which I imagine is pretty small stuff for, you know, a lot of government think tank documents. But
and they're talking about an information chip to put right into the brain.
Chips. Yes.
And you know, if you had said this today, there are people who would, you know, laugh in your face. Oh, conspiracy thug. Oh, that's nuts. You know, that's that crazy, you know, Mark of the Beast talk. No, this is fact, and here it is in a government document. They're talking about within 30 years putting microchips in people's brains.
Right, which, again, Alex Jones and others have documented the military documents that are available on websites that show that our own military have been basically prophesying the same thing.
Yeah.
And even going so far as to say that, you know, there will be pressures made at the social level to make it seem, you know, cool and hip to have the brain chip. And I know, it just sounds absolutely ridiculous. But the other thing that this document talks about is the use of ethnic cleansing weapons, bioweapons, genetically engineered weapons that both our government and the Israeli government have been saying, yep, we need to make these. Why? Because, well, oh, you know, to defend ourselves against those other nasty people that are going to be doing it. But as this Prison Planet InfoWars article quotes, advanced forms of biological warfare that can target specific genotypes may transform biological warfare from the realm of terror to a politically useful tool. And then it says, so who wrote this? Nazis or the Pol Pot regime? No, it was Paul Wolfowitz, Dick Cheney, William Kristol, Donald Rumsfeld, and the rest of the neocons in their Project for a New American Century. And it also cites a more recent Armed Forces Journal article from last year that I believe the quote, this is where the quote is from, it was written by retired Major Ralph Peters. Oh, and one other dirty little secret from 5,000 years of history, writes Peter, ethnic cleansing works. And we go back to this London Guardian article where they're basically saying, you know, that this will be used, as Alex has been saying, you know, herding the masses into the cities, getting everybody, you know, crammed into cities, which, as we know, it's just like rats, you know, you cram too many rats into a small space, they fight each other.
And yes,
it creates social
right
unrest.
Here.
Social unrest.
Right here, yes, it says, pressures leading to social unrest. That's the heading here in the Guardian.
Urban underclass.
By 2010, more than 50% of the world's population will be living in urban rather than rural environments, leading to social deprivation and, quote, new instability risk and the growth of shanty towns. Skipping forward, migration will increase. Globalization may lead to levels of international integration that effectively bring interstate warfare to an end, but it may lead to intercommunal conflict. Communities with shared interests transcending national boundaries and resorting to the use of violence. Well, but it goes on here, too, and it talks about basically the effect of all this immigration that we're seeing, not only here in the U.S. with our southern borders being opened up to all these illegal immigrants from Mexico and farther south, but also in the European Union, as it's now called, and a great influx of Islamic people and the kinds of instability that results from that.
And as far back as pre-9/11, in the months before 9/11, the CIA released a report saying that there was going to be a youth bulge in the Middle East, that the population was rising there so dramatically that there was that the young were going to outpopulate the older very, very quickly. And so where are we bombing like crazy now, you know, creating enemies faster than we can kill them? The Middle East.
Yeah, but you know, it's what they call here in this report demographic trends, which will exacerbate economic and social tensions, have serious implications for the environment, and of course it goes on and as this article continues to the Middle East, Islamic militancy, Iran, terrorism, and climate change, and this report by the Britain's Department of our Ministry of Defense goes on to describe that there is, quote, compelling evidence to indicate that climate change is occurring and that the atmosphere will continue to warm at an unprecedented rate throughout the 21st century. Now, if the globalists are telling us that, then we know that it's propaganda and that it's being put out there for the purposes of manipulating us.
Right. Whether or not climate change is real, which I actually think it is, the fact is that it's always going to be, that kind of thing is going to be manipulated and utilized.
They're going to politicize it, yeah.
I wish I had the quote in front of me from one of these Bilderberger-esque meetings. I forget, it's not the actual Bilderberg meeting, but it was a different World Forum type of a meeting where the participants, you know, years ago were saying that water, you know, was going to be one of the main driving forces for conflict and controlling people in the future, and as well as the effects of natural disasters and whatnot. You know, all these power-hungry maniacs need is any excuse and every excuse to convince you to give up your rights so that they can, you know, give up your liberty so that you can have a little security, and it just never works.
Which is a life with complete security under those conditions is a life not worth living. You know, and Benjamin Franklin already said it better, but I can't remember the exact quote.
I think it's something to the effect of, he who would give up a little liberty in exchange for a little security deserves and will get neither. It's a lot more verbose than that, I know.
Yeah.
And that reminds me, anybody out there who wants great bumper stickers that incorporate parapolitical commentary from our founding fathers and from some of our own parapolitical writers here in Austin, should go to libertystickers.com. That's a great place to find parapolitical bumper stickers that run the gamut from 9/11 conspiracy material to, just like I said, classic quotes from the founding fathers, as well as bumper stickers that poke fun at all the other stickers you're probably used to seeing out there. So Mac, what else has caught your attention this past week? We missed the show last week, so there's, as usual, twice the information out there to talk about.
Yes, I know.
But this thing we just got through talking about, this Ministry of Defense white paper on the dark future.
And
a lot of people say that's really the mark of PSYOPs, is it just scaring the bejesus out of you?
Yeah, if so, what's the purpose of
right.
that? And, you know, one might be that there is a recognition that the middle classes are aware now, that is, or a significant a number of its members are aware that there is an intentional program to make them extinct, and that all these things are beginning to cause a problem. But to begin to make it known that there are ways of dealing with that, such as using bioweapons that if this problem with regard to this internet-enabled citizen journalist matter, they've got an electromagnetic pulse that'll be operational sometime soon, that will be able to destroy all communication systems in a selected area or be used against a world city, such as an international business service hub or wherever, and that they can basically do what they want.
Right.
This could be meant simply to scare people on one level.
Well, and the thing is, with regard to EMP, you know, EMP, we've known about that and been using it and hardening potential targets against it for at least as long as we've been blowing up atoms, because that's one of the byproducts of that. And I think they've probably got some type of EMP technology already. We know that's one of the things cops are always looking for, is a way of disabling vehicles that are, you know, trying to escape, and so there's been a lot of work on these EMP guns that can basically just toast the electronics in a car that's trying to get away so that basically it won't go anymore.
All of this weaponry is very possibly fully operational right now, but is it practical to use it?
And I keep flashing on the end of the horrible, horrible movie Escape from L.A., the sequel to Escape from New York, which, talk about your nightmare visions of the future, New York City walled off as a maximum security prison, and then, of course, in the sequel, the Los Angeles is the same way. But at the, I'm sorry, spoiler here, spoiler warning, if you haven't seen Escape from L.A., turn off. No, don't, wait, don't turn off.
Cover your ears.
Snake, Snake Plissken holds in his hands a button that would basically initiate a worldwide electromagnetic pulse that's initiated would be initiated by satellites placed in orbit around the planet to just massively zap the electromagnetic spectrum down upon the planet, such that all electromagnetics would be gotten rid of, and we would basically in an instant be thrown back into the Stone Age. And while that's kind of frightening, there's part of me that's like, yeah.
Yeah, bring the stone, bring it on. The stone
we'll go back to blogging with stone tablets.
Yeah. The date they keep giving here for the electromagnetic pulse and so forth is 2035. And then for the implantable information chip in the, that would be wired directly into the brain, 2035. So we've got that much time, just a little less than 3 decades. So, folks, it's time to start your Marxist middle-class revolution now.
Start it early.
Revolution now, okay? Grab your pitchforks, grab your torches, and let's storm the White House now.
Well, and that reminds me, I wish I could be with pitchfork in hand. I'm putting all my food, I'm putting all my money into canned food and shotguns. I wish I could have a torch and pitchfork in hand at the meeting that's going on right now, and that's going on this coming Thursday here in Austin about turning yet another one of our roads into toll roads.
Oh, yeah.
That PSYOP where they basically sell it to the public as managed lanes. It'll be a managed lane. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll manage it so that, people who are carpooling can use it while reducing the size of all the other lanes, causing more accidents, reducing access to travel for us, which is a right you're born with and that some believe God bestows upon you, and I'm not going to argue with that.
Well, you know, and that's something that's happening on a local level, and that's where one can have more effect still with the, figuratively speaking, of course, pitchfork.
yes, we're not advocating any actual violence.
Oh, absolutely not. God forbid. But applying pressure there is probably the most effective strategy right now, as well as elsewhere on the national level. But they are more and more instituting various globalist and programs and so forth, as you might expect on a local level, and it can be more easily fought on a local level. So that anyone listening to this, there's got to be something going on in your local area. Here in Austin, it's this toll road situation and other things. But that's a good approach to make the globalist agenda that much more difficult for them and to really slow it down. They aren't going to start using these electromagnetic pulse machines and bioweapons and what have you until 2035, folks. So now's the time to get busy. They're not going to do it now, okay? And if we get busy now and really fight them, and use that internet. Become an internet-enabled citizen journalist now. We could actually win this war.
I couldn't agree more, Mac. We're it's getting to that point where there's got to be a little. That tipping point has to be reached any minute now. And speaking of any minute now, we're fast approaching the 8 o'clock hour. Which means we'll be signing off here. But I just, again, really want to thank everybody for listening. And, Mac, thank you for doing this show with me. It's really a pleasure to talk to you every week.
Always glad to do it, yes.
And You've been listening to PSYOP Radio on the Anomaly Radio Network at anomalyradio.com, and of course we have our PsyopRadio.com website that you can go to, where we'll post past issues and episodes of this strange show that we do here. And, well, until next time, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the other side of the PSYOP. Mac,
yes.
Any final comments? Oh, we should go to your website and check out the Bush Hunta.
Yes, check out our websites. Mine is MacWhite.com, MacWhite.com. Got all kinds of things there to read, and so check it out.
All right, everybody, thanks again. This has been PSYOP Radio.
Good night.
Good night.